Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Potty Talk Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Christina, and I'm here with
you already know,
Maria.
There we go. Yeah, we got it. All right.
You love that little beat. It's your shit.
I do. I'm waiting for the beat drop always. I love it.
Oh.
That's what you're talking about? Okay.
Yep. All right. You just get real into it.
Yeah.
It's cute.
Know me, just a dancing gal.
Yeah. I love those little spunky quirks that come out of you.
Once a year.
I'm flirting with you. Sorry.
Ooh, I'm getting hot.
Great.
Oh, well, we're kind of going to get a little depressing this week. We just wanted to talk about coping with major life and traumatic events. In events we've gone through, traumatic experiences we've gone through, and just how we've dealt with them and coped, maybe healthy, unhealthy ways. You know, obviously there's a time and place for both to an extent.
I actually had a friend reach out recently too, who kind of went through something traumatic. And I think, well, she had said something to me like, hey, it would be fun to listen to you guys talk about like your experiences with trauma. So
yeah,
it was super insightful too. I'm like, yeah, it's just a good reminder. Like everybody has trauma.
Right.
And it's comforting to hear how people deal with it and
yeah,
if they can relate.
Right. And I did want to start with a bit of a disclaimer because we are probably going to be discussing suicide and overdose potentially. So yeah, maybe if those are heavy topics that are triggering for you, not tune into this episode and
you will be missed.
Talk to you next week.
Yeah.
But on that note, I did want to life update a bit. We have some separate trips we're all going on soon.
Yeah, but we're
about
sad.
Time. I know. We're I wish it was together. But we'll get one of those planned at some point this year. But
yeah. I'm holding my breath.
Where are you off to, Carl?
I'm going to Mexico.
Oh, you missed the opportunity in Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that's where you were going.
That, so I tried to
Oh, you're trying to be different. No, I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
I'm really
for you.
Excited.
It's going to be so nice.
Mm hmm. I was just going to say something, but yeah, I'm really excited to drink a bunch of margaritas and sit in.
It's all inclusive, right?
All inclusive. Yeah. Probably going to swim a lot and play mermaids and have underwater tea parties with
my
margarita.
Gosh, you're so nostalgic.
Yeah.
Aww,
I'm excited.
That'll be fun. That'll be so relaxing just to go and not do really anything.
Yeah, I haven't really. I mean, every time we travel, it's not like we're like, go. It's not like we're like, but like, we do stuff.
Yeah. And we're going places that we want to sightsee.
Yeah. And we're just going to sit in rat and I am
sunbathe and swim.
Yeah,
you're gonna be so tan.
You're not leaving the resort, are you?
No, Sean was like, "Well, what if?" I'm like, "Stop right there.
There's nothing.
We're not. What do you want to see?
Yeah,
there's nothing.
Just
everything's
chill.
Free.
Yeah,
chill, relax.
Girl math. It's free, inclusive.
I was like, no, I'm already like, we're gonna save hundreds of dollars that week.
Girl math. Yeah, exactly.
Can't wait. Very excited.
Where's Mimi off to?
Las Vegas.
Oh, yes. Wait, have you been?
Mariah Carey.
I've never been.
Oh, yeah. This is like a third time we've mentioned this.
I know.
I'm so excited.
I'm excited.
It's my first time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to expect, but I just know it's going to be fun.
Bring your walking shoes.
Even just seeing Las Vegas, you know what I mean? Like, it's different. I'm sorry, what?
I said bring your walking shoes.
Can I bring cute shoes too?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. If you're gonna go out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll Uber unless you're like walking the strip during the day. You'll probably be Ubering.
That's if you're gonna walk the strip.
Our hotel is near the venue of the concert. So
oh, nice.
We'll be able to walk to the concert.
Where are you staying?
I can get wasted.
Love that. Isn't it open Intox too?
Yeah.
We're staying at the Pyramid Place.
Yeah, that's where me and Sean stay.
I don't know the fucking name.
Oh my god. What is it?
Luxor.
Is it the Luxor? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's haunted.
It is?
I think it is.
Ooh. Oh, shit. Here we go.
I like that.
Write down some ghost stories. Be on the lookout for us.
I got you.
Love that shit.
I'm excited for you.
That'll be fun.
Thank you.
It's going to be hot.
Yes.
Is it?
It's always hot there.
Not always. It gets
lots of pictures. Right.
Well, we had a wedding there in November, and it was like cold.
Oh,
when
shit.
When the sun went away.
Well, November...
Yeah, I know May is
a
little different. Or April, sorry.
April, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Will you send us lots of videos?
Absolutely.
What's the song that just reminded me. I'm sorry, what?
What's the song that I like?
Murder on the Dance Floor.
I'm fucking over that
one. What are you talking about?
What?
Mariah Carey?
Yes. You guys.
We belong together.
No, no, no. Obsessed. No.
Touch my body.
No. Oh. Maybe it is We Belong Together. Yeah.
Oh, We one. Belong Together is my favorite Mariah Carey song.
Remember I made you listen to it in the car? Anyway.
Girl, that's the first one I said. That I one. Did want to say that Carly wants everyone to follow her on Snapchat.
Oh, wow. Well.
So follow Carl on Snapchat.
Well, what's your name?
I don't know. Because I'm trying to get her to post more on Instagram, girl, but she's like Snapchat right girly.
I'm not looking. I'm not
looking. Oh, my God. What's the point? Oh, okay. Whatever. Well, follow her on Instagram, and then maybe she'll post her Snapchat from there.
Yeah, that's just where my true personality is, because it's just
It could be on Instagram. Oh, if you're brave enough.
Well.
Who cares?
You see the shit that goes down on there. It's just funny and in the moment and not filtered and a little obnoxious, but.
Love that.
I have funny friends, and I'm funny once in a while, and, you know.
Not that anybody asked, but I'm going to New York. Can I come?
No, Mike. I'm so sorry.
She hates us. She fucking hates us.
No,
yeah, you're going to New York. What are you going to do there?
Wait, I don't know.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dot your photo shoot. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to see my friend Olivia, who has lived there for a while now. I went to see her in 2019 there. We spent a weekend. And, yeah, she just said she had a free weekend. And
I love.
Last minute. I know. I'm so excited. One, just New York fashion and like putting the outfits together has been so fun for me.
Yeah.
And just, it's good content opportunities, such of course, good content, and good food. And then my best friends that I haven't seen in a while. It's going to be so nice.
Yeah, I love that.
I'm excited. And the flight was cheap. It was like $290.
Oh, zing.
Well, shit. Delta?
Yeah.
On Delta?
Fuck
on
you.
I know.
Well, I'm going to New York in May, and it'll be my first time going to New York.
See Abby?
I definitely paid more than that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Are you flying on a JFK?
No.
Oh.
Huh.
I think it's what? LGA?
Yeah. That's where I'm flying into.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. Anyways.
Anyway.
I don't know how to kick this one off. It's just so heavy. Like, I just wrote a list of just like healthy versus unhealthy coping mechanisms. And the unhealthy was excessive drug and alcohol use, procrastination, self-harm, social withdrawal, sleeping too much or not at all. And then more healthy coping mechanisms were exercise, relaxing, professional help, problem-solving techniques, and reaching out to family or friends for support. And I feel like I've done both of those, unhealthy and healthy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
You know, just sometimes you're trying to get through it and you need some unhealthy coping to balance out the healthy. I don't know. I guess I'll just kick it off because this wasn't super traumatic for me. I mean, for the reason that I don't think I ever fully processed it. But when I was, I wrote down 19, but I don't think I was 19. Maybe I was. Maybe I was not. I was 19 or 20. And my cousin, I have a very small family, so I only have two first cousins on both sides, mom and dad. One of my cousins was battling a drug addiction for a long time, had been to a halfway house, in and out. And I think it was actually right after John and I moved home from Florida, got a call from my mom sobbing that my cousin had overdosed on heroin. And we needed to drive to my aunt and uncle's and obviously see them, support them, console them, figure out what the fuck happened. Sad is an understatement, obviously. Right. It was fucking tragic. He was so young. You always think they're like beating it, but you never know what's really happening behind the door. His mom and dad found him. I mean, just, the worst possible, I feel like, for a parent to find a kid like that. But I feel like I was so young, and at the same time I was kind of becoming an adult, and I didn't really have a super close emotional connection to this cousin since we had become adults, mainly because he was addicted to drugs for a long time, you know, and that obviously creates a huge divide. So I feel like that, but seeing my family grieve and process that and try to process that, I know my uncle, I mean, they struggle every day. That's not something you ever get over, you know? Yeah. But just like my uncle turning to alcohol and had a really, I had kind of, it wasn't super traumatic, but it was just kind of an uncomfortable night as a family together and him trying to cope and saying things that hurt my feelings, but he's hurt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just a whole cycle when you don't try to process things in a healthy manner.
Right.
But at the same time, it's just so hard when you're in that moment. Headspace. Yeah. It's just you're not thinking about that. You're just like trying to get by. So that was obviously heavy, but I feel like I remember one of my family members at the funeral, I wasn't really like crying. I mean, everybody was sobbing like the whole time. And mm-hmm. I feel like I wasn't crying until maybe like towards the end or a couple times I really broke down with my aunt. But I don't know. I feel like I was kind of maybe in a state of shock. I was mm-hmm. just like, it didn't feel real. And then I didn't see him super often in my life anyways. So honestly, now it feels like he could still, like I'd go to my aunt and uncle's and he'd be there. He'd be there. What I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's been a while at this point, but still it's just like heavy.
Yeah.
There's always something that you're coping with, you know?
Everyone forever. Copes so differently.
So differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like you can't really like decide how you're going to cope, or like you just genuinely have no idea how you're going to cope.
You're not even thinking that you're coping. You know what I mean?
You're not even thinking you're coping. No, it's just straight survival mode.
I feel like.
Right. So. I think you honestly know that better than literally anyone.
Yeah.
Do you feel comfortable saying this?
Yeah. I am in part of the Dead Dads Club over here, but my dad, he committed suicide 2 years ago. Well, yeah, it's been 2 years now. He was an alcoholic like early stages of his life, and then he got sober after I was born and was pretty much sober my whole life. And then he started drinking again like a couple years before he died. Maybe not a couple years. I don't know. So much is like so blurry too. Mm-hmm. But started drinking again. And yeah, just one day it happened on a Saturday. I was at home with Sean, and my grandma was living with my parents at the time, and she was in the hospital on that day. And so my mom was at the hospital sitting with my grandma when my dad did it. And then my mom called me because my dad wasn't at home. My parents owned a business. That's where my dad decided to end his life. So my mom went there. She found him there and she called me. And literally, like, I truly just don't have any words to describe it. Like, it's like a horror movie, like a scream times 1,000. Like, literally screamed. It's terrible. I think about it all the time. And just, yeah, I mean,
traumatizing.
I don't, that phone call alone, you know? I mean, that phone call haunts me all the time. Sometimes I like still have to call my mom, or like I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, mom, are you okay? Like, even during the day, like sometimes I'll call her and I'm just like, I just need to hear your voice and like hear that it's normal and you're not screaming and crying. Like, I just mm-hmm. need to know, like, I need to just put reality, like associate reality, like just bring myself back in.
What was your initial feeling after that call? Like,
yeah, I literally my legs went numb. Like, I literally was, I just felt like it was instant shock, but like adrenaline almost. Like, Sean was we had laid down to take a nap and Sean was asleep, but I was like right in the beginning phases where you're like pretty much asleep, but you're like, you're almost asleep when she called. And so, like, when she called me, I, like, shook Sean and I literally was like, he did it. He died. My dad is dead. Like, my dad is dead. And Sean, like, shot out of bed and just, like, I just started. My mom was on the phone and literally screaming. And I was just trying to calm my mom down. Like, I was like, it's okay. Like, I'm coming right now. Like,
you didn't immediately start, like, crying?
No, I literally didn't. Like, I didn't.
We couldn't process it.
No, yeah. I just was like, and then I stayed on the phone with her, and then I was like, well, is he, like, she was just so hysterical, and Sean was, like, not freaking out, but he just, like, Sean was, like, pacing, like, literally, like, what do we do? Like, mm-hmm. what are we doing? And so I was just like, okay. I was like, Mom, is he breathing? She's like, no, like, started, like, describing what she was seeing, and I'm like, okay, like, I'm coming right now. And I just started literally just put clothes on and just started calling all my friends. Like, I just went down like my call, like,
yeah,
and just was like, my, like, just, I felt like I just had to tell everyone. I was like, my dad literally is dead. Like,
I'll never forget where I was. I know. You texted me that. You literally texted me.
I know. I just started calling everyone. It was just literally indescribable. So, yeah, I mean, I went there, like, we drove there, and like the paramedics were there and they were like, do you want to see your dad? And I'm like, are you fucking crazy? Like, but then like I'm like, well, like, you can't, like, you cannot process anything, right? And I was like, are you fucking crazy? Like, I know, why would I want to see him like that? Like, and then they're like, well, we're gonna take him. And it, like, you can't even process, like, well, if I want to see him, I got to see him now. Mm-hmm. Like, this is it. Like, mm-hmm. I couldn't even, like, make a, like, rational decision. Like, I couldn't even, yeah. I don't know.
I can't, yeah. I try to, like, put myself in that position. And yeah. If I feel like seeing someone is traumatic and you don't want that to be your last memory of them. Yeah. But at the same time, I feel like I would need to see it to believe it almost, yeah. You know, in mm-hmm. that sense. I yeah. don't know.
I
don't
and
know
I feel how like I felt that way. That. Well, they also, too, at the funeral home, like, they took him to the funeral home and they did offer for us to go see him. And I was like, my mom and my brother went and saw him. And I was like, I just can't do it. Like, I don't know. And it was just one of those decisions. I was like, I am going to potentially regret this mm-hmm. for the rest of my life. But in that moment, I just didn't want to. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, I didn't feel strong enough to do it. I couldn't do it. So I didn't go see him. And I still, till this day, like, I don't regret it. Like, I haven't gotten to a place, and I hope that I don't ever regret it. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
When did you finally cry? When was, like, your emotional, release?
I honestly, it's just so hard because I'm the older sibling, and then my mom was the one to find my dad.
So you're trying to support them.
So I'm trying to support them. Like, my mom found my dad that way. They took him away, and then we just drove home. It's like, we just go home. We laid in bed, in my mom's bed. Even Sean laid in my mom's bed. Me, my mom, my brother, and Sean lay down together in bed to try and go to bed, which mm-hmm. you fucking can't. And these people are calling because my dad was an organ donor, and they're like, okay. So I'm on the phone with these people for an hour. My mom is literally hysterical. She can't, like, it is like she can't think, she can't talk, she's doing, like, literally frozen. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, well, did your dad, like, did he have this, and asking all, like, this medical history, and I'm having to, like, recall all these things. And like, I
having to think about organ donation, like, in a situation like that is,
I'm like, I can't even
crazy.
No, so I couldn't even, like, mm-hmm. cry. And right. then finally, like, it got quiet when we were laying in bed because my mom tried to sleep, and yeah, so that's when I cried at first. And then, like, I slept for maybe an hour that night, and then when I woke up, it literally felt like the world was silent. Like, it felt like we were the only people, like, on the planet. Like, it was just silent. Like, the eeriest feeling, like, I've ever fucking felt. It's, I don't know, it's just terrible.
I cannot fucking imagine that. And especially, like, you're in your family home and waking up for the first time without him, you know?
Yeah.
That's just
literally
so many different levels to it.
Yeah. The firsts are just, that was just, any first is, I feel like, the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it just, I think when you lose, like, suicide is obviously, like, the most traumatic way to lose somebody. It's unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many, you have so many questions and doubts. And then, like,
you didn't leave, like, no, for you guys.
Nothing. And, like, what's really weird is, like, I knew he was struggling. Like, I knew he had been drinking a little bit. And I had a really bad dream, like, 2 weeks prior that he killed himself. And I called my dad one morning before work, literally, and I had tears in my eyes. And I was like, Dad, like, I had this horrible dream. Like, you have to tell me you're doing okay. Like, are you okay? And he's like, I promise, sweetie. Like, I'm doing okay. And then literally it happened. I'm like, and, like, he never said anything. The most recent thing prior to that happening, like, he had said something to me outside about, like, being sorry that he felt like he failed me as a dad, and it kind of like took me by surprise because I was like, dad, like, what are you talking about? Like, you are such a good dad. Like, mm-hmm. I have no complaints about you. Like, I love you, whatever. But that was like the only thing, like, that was literally it. And like the last time I saw him before that, I was thinking back, like, it's just, yeah, we literally hung out. Like, he came to Grand Rapids the weekend before, we went to dinner, like, as a family, we went to a hockey game, like, just nothing. He was funny. Like, I have videos of him at the hockey game, like, being silly, like just had no mm-hmm. idea. And it's like the biggest, like, you feel so stupid because you're like, this is my dad. How do you not know?
Right.
You know what I mean?
But at the same time, he's probably putting on that front that he is so happy because in his mind, maybe that was the last time, you know?
That's what we always say. My mom's like, 100%. He had to have known. Like, he
was battling that all the time.
Yeah.
Like, that was not, and that one dream you had was not the only dream you had like that. Like, I mean, circle back to our first episode when you had the dream that your dad died.
I know. Fucking crazy.
Years before.
I know.
It's just, how did you, I know medication was probably helpful.
Yeah.
Coping wise, but how else did you kind of cope throughout that process up until now?
Yeah. And I was thinking about that earlier. Like, it's so fucking crazy that I like, oh, you get a week off work and then you just have to like come back to work. I'm like,
right. Like, everything's so normal again. Like,
it's fucking crazy. But literally I had no, like, my mom, no fault to her, just not, could be nothing to me, obviously. And then I'm the older sibling, so like trying, and then I have a brother, so it's like my brother, it's the aspect of him, it's his father, and then me as a woman, like, oh, it's my dad. Like, it's two different dynamics there. And so me, just how I have been my whole life, like feeling like I have to like keep everything together for everyone, like, I just genuinely didn't know what to do. And I felt like I was like, I have to go to therapy because I just don't know what to do. I mm-hmm. do not know how to move forward. Yeah. I had no idea. So I started therapy, like pretty intense therapy. Like, I was going multiple times a week, just talk therapy. But I lucked out and have found the best therapist, and she was super well like experienced in that. And that really saved me, like, just talking about it. And I don't know, looking back, I'm like, how did I get through that? Like, I just don't know. I don't know. You just, I feel like also just, I was in denial for so long about it. Not that like I was denying that he was dead, it's just like I just wasn't allowing myself
to feel it.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that I also notice about myself, like, even with like smaller things, like just the importance of being vulnerable with people. Like, people were constantly checking on me, but then it does, like, after some time goes by, people don't ask as much, and it's all the cliche shit you read online about death. Like, that's exactly what happens, and it does suck. Like, it is hard, and I do want to talk about them, and it's hard when people like don't ask about them. But I always struggled with just like reaching out to my friends and being like, hey, like, just want to talk about my dad. Like, mm-hmm. but that is, my therapist was like, you got to talk about it. Like, mm-hmm. you just got to call your friends and tell them and cry. And like, because I just never like to cry in front of people, because that's just like, oh, I don't want to feel like a burden. And it's heavy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's so heavy, and people already have their own shit they're going through. But right. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, of course I'm gonna blank. I had a question. Oh, I was gonna say, what was the best form of support you received, and mm-hmm. what was the least helpful form of support you feel like a message someone sent? Yeah. Like, yeah. I feel like I've been reading it's more, so and hard. I might have honestly, yeah. I might have done this.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've read online, like, let me know how I can help. And yeah. it's like, you're never, like you said, you're never gonna, it's so hard to ask for help in that situation.
It
like,
is hard.
And it's more helpful to just kind of maybe go over and help you do the laundry, or just help with the basic chores that you have no capacity for.
I think it's, for me, like, and it's probably different for everyone, but I think it's similar for like when people are battling like depression, like just like coming over, like just almost like coexist with me, mm-hmm. like how you feel on your best day, like you, like I'm at a 5% battery level through this. And so, like, I need somebody to come be, like, my 95 right. that has a clear conscience. Like, when I'm, like, I can't even think straight right now. Like, I need somebody to just come and be, like, yep, it's time to eat now. Like, like, it's just such a low moment. I don't know. I still, like, after it's happened, like, I have had friends that have lost their parents or, like, coworkers, and I'm like, I still don't even know what to say to people, because it's like there really is, like, nothing you can say. I feel like sometimes when stuff's that traumatic, just really, I think just also being vulnerable as, like, the supporter and, mm-hmm. like, reaching out to people and being like, hey, I'm here for you. Like, we're going to do this together. And
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything that's not helpful. I think, yeah, just actually, like, physically showing up. Like, you came over, and, like, when people were coming over, that I feel like that helped me so much. So yeah. I just wasn't alone. So mm-hmm.
I know I wasn't, I remember coming over there, and I really wasn't sure how, like, what to expect, like, yeah. your yeah, emotional you state.
I know.
I did?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You brought a cake.
Uh-huh. But I do remember we just sat and talked about your dad and, yeah. And laughed, honestly. I mean,
yeah, like, we did. We were like, yeah. yeah. And that was helpful.
But so. What I was going to say was you were not emotional. You didn't,
no,
I didn't,
not at all.
I don't know if I've ever seen you cry, actually.
I know.
I'm thinking about that. I don't know. I mean,
I think it's just so much of, like, feeling like you have to, like, yeah. have it together.
Right.
And then also, too, I think, like, I talked about that in therapy a lot. Like, I felt like I was, like, scared. I'm like, okay, well, if I cry or, like, if I lose it, like, everything else around me is going to crumble. Like, whether that's
not true.
But, I know.
Whether but you think it. Yeah.
yeah. So that's just, like, how it would, like, it felt to me. So.
Yeah. What, were there any, like, unhealthy ways you coped?
With
I went to therapy. That's obviously a very healthy way.
Honestly, like, I feel like I don't, like, when I look back and think about it, I don't feel like I give myself enough credit, because I really, like, I just really dove into therapy. Like, I mm-hmm. just, I kind of was like, I have no other option. Like, this is just my reality, and I don't know what to do, and I just need help. Like, I need to talk about it, and I need someone to help me with tools to get through. And yeah, I kept going to work, obviously, like, having support there and just my friends and just going to therapy. But I didn't start drinking. Like, I didn't, like,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm proud of myself for not
yeah
going off the deep end, and I didn't shut the world off, and, you know,
yeah,
and it's okay if people do and if you do that, but I really kind of just was like, I'm going to deal with this. Like,
right.
I don't know. I just didn't have any other options. So.
Yeah. And I feel like you've been in from what you've told me, you've been in a depressed state before in
yeah.
your life. So
yeah.
not, I'm sure, like, not wanting to get back
yeah.
to that. You know what I mean? You
yeah.
know what that feels like, too.
Yeah, that was also a big concern that I talked about with my therapist. Just like, oh, well, if I am really sad about this, like, I don't want to go back to that feeling, like, how mm-hmm. I felt when I was in high school and when I was really depressed. And I just had a hard time separating the two. Like, this right. is grief. Like, you're coping with grief. This isn't depression. Like,
right.
But I was so worried that if I acknowledged the grief, I was going to fall into the depression again. But that wasn't the case. So.
Right. That's good.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of you. I'm
Thanks.
Happy for you.
Yeah. That's a yeah. lot. There's a lot. I could talk about it forever.
Right. Obviously, grief comes in waves. It's never going to be, like, gone.
Yeah.
You know?
I always feel like the first of everything is literally terrible. Mm-hmm. And time goes on. And that in those moments, maybe, like, when I'm, there's been moments where I've been with people, and then in my head I'm like, oh, like, this is the first time, like, I've done this, and, like, people don't know that. But mm-hmm. then it's like, then you're, like, internally, like, struggling with it. But the first, and then, I don't know, I feel like as more time has gone on, it's also, it just, reality continues to set in. And then so as stuff continues to happen, you're just like, oh yeah, I won't ever get to share this. And so it just does it I don't know.
Yeah.
People, like, if people think it gets better, I'm always like, no, I don't feel like it does. But
yeah, I feel like I saw something, because a friend of mine had lost her mom to cancer, and I saw I think this was before your dad, actually, that I sent it to her, but it was an interview with someone talking about grief and explaining it as just unexpressed love with mm-hmm. love with nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah. there's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's just like a constant feeling that right. it's like you just can't get rid of it. I don't know. It's fucking terrible.
Yeah. Constant lifelong battle.
Yeah.
Sorry, Carl.
That's all right.
I noticed in the beginning when you started talking, you were smiling kind of like you yeah. are now, because I think one of your coping mechanisms we discussed was dark humor yeah. and just making jokes and yeah. light out of it, which
I just always try to.
It's uncomfortable for some people, but I yeah. mean,
I don't care.
That's how you go. I've gotten used to it.
I do it at yeah. work a lot, and people be like, Carly. And I'm like, well, at least they have a fucking dad. So I don't fucking. Or like clients see, that are like, oh, my dad's going to give me money to help buy a house. I'm like, must be fucking nice. My dad killed himself. So,
oh my God, I'm not laughing at that.
No, but I always just make little jokes like that. It does help me.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know.
Yeah.
You know the vibes.
Yeah.
That dad club. How's Maria over
I know,
there?
Tired.
He's like, wow.
No, I'm not. I'm not trying to be rude. That was a lot.
It is so,
and I just,
so much.
I strictly just wanted to listen because I haven't heard you talk about it in that depth.
Right.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you for sharing
you're
that.
You're sweet. Yeah. I'll tell you about it another time and cry sometime. But not right now.
I was almost honestly crying.
No. I know. Times no, that. I was like, definitely I just, getting emotional.
Yeah.
That's unimaginable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of trauma you been through, Maria?
Yeah.
We're let's just, keep it going.
Keep, going
keep these good
table.
Times rolling.
I've been through a few things, but the one thing that I'm like okay to talk about is my divorce.
Yeah.
I was with my ex for 10 years and we were together since senior year of high school. So, leaving somebody after being with them for that long is, it's a lot.
Alone, that's hard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then on top of all the crazy shit that we kind of went through.
Would you label that relationship as toxic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. It wasn't always, but there were definitely, like, when I started looking back and reflecting on things, I'm like, oh, missed that red flag.
Right.
Missed that red flag.
Which is easy to do in a toxic mm-hmm. relationship mm-hmm. for a reason, you know? They
and kind my of, first relationship.
Yeah. Right. And from, yeah, know. Such a, yeah, such a young age.
Right.
Yeah.
So
how'd you cope with that?
First, very unhealthy. Just yeah. On top of, I mean, I was already such a big pothead, but I was probably smoking even more. And then after we separated, I spent at least 2 months waking up every morning. And by 10 a.m., I was drinking,
mm-hmm.
drinking my whiskey. And just kind of trying not to deal with it.
Feel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to numb it.
Did it help?
You know, temporarily, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
like in the moment.
Yeah, right. I could see
I'm like,
that.
Ooh, I'm drunk. Like,
yeah,
right.
I feel good. I don't have to think about anything else. Like, but then you sober up. It's nighttime. You're alone and you're like, oh, okay.
Fucking scared.
Right.
There's
yeah. as you're coming down.
There's a lot here. Going on in my mind right now.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, I know you've had a tough time finding therapists. Did you immediately start looking after that or did it take you some time to kind of start looking? Or did you start looking before that? Sorry.
No, it wasn't before.
Okay.
It was a little bit after. And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, it was before.
Mm-hmm. When things were getting bad.
Yeah, when things were getting bad, I saw one lady like 6 times. And I just didn't feel like we were vibing. I didn't feel like she was understanding me.
6 times is fair.
Yeah.
To like get to know someone,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah. That sucks.
And then after we separated, I think between the time we separated and now, I tried talking to, like, three or four other therapists mm-hmm. and just wasn't working out for me. I don't know.
Are you going through a certain, like,
I was, BetterHelp? Yep. Yeah. I was going through BetterHelp. Yeah. And I don't know if that made a difference. I thought it was kind of helpful. You kind of get to, like, filter what kind of person you want. And
right.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. the last girl, I feel like she wasn't even taking it seriously.
Oh, God. Well, that's such a shitty feeling. Yeah. You're like, I'm trying to be vulnerable and open up to you.
I'm trying to be vulnerable, and she's, like, running away from a bee, like, with her laptop. Like, oh, my God, like, this bee is chasing me. Like, I'm so sorry.
No, I would. I was like,
first of all, why are you outside?
Right.
Like,
go to an office.
Are you no distractions. I swear to God, it felt like she was just like a joke therapist.
Yeah, that
and that was the last girl I saw, and I just didn't really try again after that. But I did a lot of things like to help myself. Talking to friends, was huge.
You have a big family too, a very supportive family too.
Definitely my family. Talking about things that I never shared before because, you know, you're with someone.
You don't want to make them look bad.
Right. So I'm trying to protect them. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And,
but having, like, I feel like saying that stuff too would probably, like, do you think that that helped? Like, finally being able to be like tell your truth. Like,
oh my
hey,
gosh,
this is
yeah.
actually what was really going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was embarrassing though in mm-hmm. a way.
Why?
Because I was with him and trying to make everything look like it was fine when really everybody kind of knew it wasn't, but I was like convincing myself more that everything was okay when it really wasn't.
Sort of like admit everybody else was right or something.
Yeah.
I'm just like, fuck.
Yeah.
Could have saved myself some time, maybe.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just, like I said, I started doing a lot of reflecting, a lot of journaling and writing, and just looking back on things and figuring out, like, just, I've had to unlearn so much toxic shit, especially being in a new relationship now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot bring that old shit into my new life. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. so I have to check myself, and I still have to check myself. Like,
yeah.
I feel like it's a lot of like learning to love yourself again
mm-hmm.
too. And like trusting yourself almost. 'Cause then I feel like you're like, what the fuck did I just, why did I just do that for so long?
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. I was like, I could not believe. I feel like I was just in a whole nother world.
Mm-hmm.
And then I left him and I was like, what the fuck was I doing?
I know.
That's so crazy.
Where was my head? Like, I feel like I didn't even know myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like so many people feel that way though. Like,
oh my gosh,
you know what I mean?
So common.
And you can't like hate yourself or like beat yourself up over it. It's like you can't fault yourself for it. It's all you knew. And especially
right.
being with somebody for that long, it's like, how do you can't,
you were so
yourself.
Young, you guys so grew young. Together for
yeah.
such a
through my 20s,
right? Yeah, exactly.
Crazy.
Such a
like
it was
formative
it's,
years.
Yeah, it's just wild. And then having to deal with like those feelings of missing that person
mm-hmm.
and then it's like, wait a minute,
right?
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's gotta be confusing.
Yeah, it's very confusing and just weird and uncomfortable. But another thing that really helped was like self-help books. I read Lighter by, I think you pronounce it Young Pueblo.
Mm.
And that was a really good book. It kind of talks about moving forward in our healing and learning self-compassion and like giving yourself grace
mm-hmm.
and that was really helpful because, you know, I don't know if I was very vocal about it, but I was super hard on myself, like
yeah.
I just couldn't believe the shit I went through and mm-hmm. put up with. So that was really helpful.
You learn and you grow, and there's yeah. always...
Like, and you have to live it. Like yeah. we said, like, there was nothing anybody could have... You know what I mean? You had to come to the realization and put it together yourself. Mm-hmm. And
yeah. And that was huge, because I had people kind of pushing me to leave him before I was ready.
Yeah.
And that is extremely unhelpful.
Yeah.
Like, don't yeah. do that to your people.
Especially in a toxic relationship, yeah. because I feel like that's just a... You naturally just want to defend and protect mm-hmm. them in any situation. That's just how your mind is.
Mm-hmm. At the time, that's mm-hmm. just how it is.
Right.
Yeah. Unless it's like, you know, like they're like, it's like physical.
That's true. Right. Yeah, physical, I know. Like I know. I was thinking abuse, that because like, yeah, because toxic, I mean, I don't know. So maybe hard. It's just approaching it too in like uh-huh. a different way, like a kind and supportive way like, of I'm like, I'm noticing you. This. Yeah. Like, I'm here to support you no matter what. But like, I just want you to know this doesn't look healthy to me or right. you know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe just approaching it in a more soft, gentle
exactly.
way. Because when it is toxic, I think you're right. You mm-hmm. do need to, I mean, if it's your health and well-being.
You kind of got to
yes.
step in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just give your... 2 cents a little bit in a
right.
nice, not attacking way. Don't mm-hmm. make them feel defensive, right. you know?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I feel like it's like something they just have to, people just have to figure out. Like
right.
everyone just has to kind of
yep.
go through it.
Yeah.
Did you have like a moment that you were like, all right, like an aha moment, like what the hell am I doing? Or was it just like constant something?
So I had, yeah, it was like my first moment was like 7 months before I actually left. That was my first thought of, all right, I think I want to divorce him. I just don't know when or right. how I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
But I knew that that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
And then the last straw was like, days after we got back from France.
Yeah, I remember that being not a good time for you.
Yeah, we got in a pretty big fight, and I was just like, I cannot live like this. Mm-hmm. I don't want to live like this.
Yeah.
This is not...
This ain't it.
This not is happy. Not good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not happy. This mm-hmm. is not healthy.
I feel like I feel like fine. Another part that was tough for you to leave was that you had gotten married not even a year prior.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't even your 1 year anniversary. So I feel like, but I remember telling you like, that is not a reason. Like matter. That's not a reason
no.
to stay. And it's just going to be harder the longer you stay in mm-hmm. it. And you know, it's just,
yeah. And big red flags the night before the wedding,
which I briefly heard about, but he did not know anything about until yeah. after the fact.
Yeah. I feel, I just looking back, I just feel so dumb. Like, but
that's okay.
In the moment, it's like, right. what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. Just not do this. All my friends and family are here. Like,
oh, Runaway Bride. How dramatic and amazing.
Oh, my
that
God. Happen. I know.
Iconic.
That happens in
honestly.
The We Belong Together Mariah Carey music video.
Does it?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that. Also, sorry, but your wedding photos were so stunning in your video. Could you imagine God. If you just did it by yourself and you still had those? I'm sorry. I know this is not a possibility.
Thanks for the help, Chris.
That would have been amazing because... Just, yeah,
iconic.
To be in that dress and,
yeah.
oh my God, the photographer and the videographer were fucking amazing. I spent so
yeah.
much money on them.
Ugh. Right. Just crop them out. And then, AI, we can totally, we'll make it us three.
Yeah.
Like it's the three of us walking down.
Sister wives.
Or like, I should go back and like recreate it
you
myself.
Should. Yeah. Change the narrative.
That will not ruin
that place
for me. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I love Old San Juan.
Yeah, you gotta make new memories.
I will
there.
Never not love it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
well, kudos to you. I feel like a lot of people, John always says this, but what? A lot of people like don't get divorced when they should, and
yeah,
it's scary.
I should have done it years before.
It doesn't matter.
I did it.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda. You
yeah.
did it,
and I'm so much happier.
Yeah, tell us the positives so people feel not scared.
I think she's been telling the bottom.
Yeah, it is different. Just a weight off your shoulders, and you know,
you're
just
so young. You know what I mean? We have so much more life to live, even in your 50s or 60s. You know what I mean? Like, there's still so much life to live. Doesn't matter when.
That's why I always tell my mama.
Love that.
Got to do what's best for yourself.
Yeah. Well, I'll bounce off of your excess weed coping mechanism into my story. Now that I don't want to get too detailed just because, I don't know, it involves another person and I feel the need to sort of protect that person still. But I think I briefly mentioned in our childhood trauma episode. I'm sorry, did you have more to say about yours? Because I kind of
okay. That's good.
Okay.
Because, like Carly said, we could just go on and on.
There's so much.
Yeah.
That was good. Thank you.
No, yeah. But 2020 with just COVID in general really gave me a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
And just not knowing what the fuck was happening and never being in something like that, in a situation like that. And then at the same time, my mom and I were kind of, we had been kind of having little tiffs in our adult relationship just as I was kind of moving out of the house and growing up and having differences and whatnot. And it kind of reached a head that I'm very avoidant. And my mom is not like that. My mom is very like, let's talk about it. Let's get it through, whatever. But it basically, at the end of the day, the conversations were not productive. It was toxic, and I feel like I said, the need to defend her because I do still respect her and have a relationship with her. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it was really hard, and there was things that were very hurtful, and there was a lot of like guilt and a hard time setting the boundary. And through COVID, it was obviously we were just fucking at home, and my anxiety was just fucking peak anything I had ever known. Because I never had anxiety before. And I literally was waking up at like 6 a.m. I naturally just like wake up and I would go out, lay on the couch and smoke a joint and drink my coffee and watch the fucking news to help my anxiety. Like, it just set me into, but it was like, I also knew it wasn't because I would have a panic attack. Like, it would be like that little wave of a panic attack, and then I'd slowly kind of like chill out and just vibe. But yeah, it was just so unhealthy. But again, at this time, you're like, I just don't want to think about it. I just want to like vibe and be high, and I don't know. And then watching the news was just part of like COVID. I was like, when the fuck is this vaccine coming out so I can get the fuck out of this house? Like, come on. Let's go. And then just the combination of all of it was just like really hard. But we saw a couple therapists probably months apart. First time didn't go well. And the second time didn't go well either. But I still see the second therapist is my therapist that I go to. And he's been fucking amazing. And I'm so grateful because he really... I mean, still, like, he is just so helpful in getting me through that and just helping validate my feelings and processing that relationship. And because it's so different from when I was a kid, you know, and you never think, like, your relationship with your parent will ever change. And it can.
Oh, yeah.
Especially as you become an adult and it's, you know what I mean? You don't have to take care of me and I am my own person and we have differences. And so I've kind of... For a while, I set a boundary and we didn't talk for a long time. And I know that kind of felt like an attack to her, but that was my way of coping and salvaging that relationship. Mm-hmm. I was like, we cannot talk right now because nothing you are saying to me is making me want to hang out with you or like ever be around again. You.
Yeah.
You know, it's doing the opposite. So I need my space because I do love you and I do want this relationship, but like we need time. I don't know. And this makes me just so fucking anxious and nervous to even think about or talk about on here. But it's my truth. And
it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to.
Yeah.
So
I think a lot of people are scared. Like they just think like family, like, oh, I just because we're family, I can't ever set a boundary with you or you just have to deal with the toxic.
Right.
but
relationship.
You don't have to.
Like, right. Just because it's family doesn't mean
you don't have to. And it's okay to set boundaries.
Yeah.
So hard to do.
So hard.
It is hard.
Yeah.
So
but
hard.
I feel like our generation is
getting better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Open to it.
And our parents are not used to that.
Yes. No, not at all.
Right. So it makes it even harder.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
But it's okay to sit with the uncomfy too. Like, I feel like that's with so many things. Like, part of it is really just learning to sit in with the feelings, in the uncomfort. Mm-hmm. That's not a word, is it? Discomfort.
Discomfort.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you meant.
Sitting in the discomfort is just such a big part of it.
Right.
Like, to really, like, actually deal with it and to cope with it.
Right. Yeah, it really is. And it's hard. And I remember when I was really in the thick of it, I remember posting something pretty vague on my story, but just like, which is so cheesy, but like, it was like a picture of me crying. And I just said, like, I've just been struggling with like a family member relationship. And so many people responded and said they were going through the same thing with their mom. I didn't even say my mom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so many people were in that same position. And I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
This is just validating,
yeah,
I guess.
Something.
You know, and just like, it's like comforting to know people are going through the same
thing.
And
alone.
These aren't things that you talk about because of that like respect thing and like the fragile relationship or not wanting to offend or stir things up. Or,
but it doesn't mean like they're like a bad mom or a bad parent.
Right. No,
like,
right.
They're human too. That's
right.
Their first time going through life too.
Right.
And they didn't maybe deal with what they needed to. So now we're dealing with
it. Which I think
it's
pretty common for our parent generation. My dad says he is like open to therapy and like he could use it and everybody could use it, but he like won't go. I'm like, and he has childhood trauma. He needs to. I know, but to say that you're like, I guess that is true. They'll say they agree with it, but just won't go themselves. They don't need it.
Right.
Type of thing. But yeah. Anyways, mine was nothing compared to your guys'.
That doesn't matter.
I mean, everyone's is different. Necessarily, yeah.
Everyone's.
You're right.
Is different.
I shouldn't say that.
Yeah. No. It's you cannot compare it.
Trauma.
It's all just trauma.
This is
real life
healing.
Shit.
I know.
I was gonna say I love it, but I absolutely don't fucking love it at all. But
yeah, it is real life shit, and I'm sure a lot
real
of people
life
relate more than we even think. So
yeah, and we're always open to talk about it. I love talking to people that are part of the Dead Dad Club. I love it because I love talking about my dad, and
it's always interesting to hear from other people that are under 30 and divorced.
Well, yeah, that too. Yeah. It's not,
you're like, I am not alone. This is not that crazy.
Yeah.
So reach out.
Yeah.
Be vulnerable.
Submissions.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're leaving anytime you have something, a question you want to ask us, advice you want, or
just
a story you want to tell, go to our website and you can put it in the little submission box completely anonymous and we'll read it on the next episode of Potty Thoughts.
Potty Thoughts.
All right. Don't know what we're talking about, but we will see you guys same place, same time back here next week.
Yeah.
Toodaloo.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.